Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace, revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
During a war, three soldiers were on a recon mission looking for the enemy. As they were searching, they approached a well. One soldier looked down in the well and said, "I can't see anything." And the echo came back, "I can't see anything." Then the second soldier looked down in the well and said, "Maybe they're hiding in the woods." And the echo came back, "Maybe they're hiding in the woods." The third soldier looked down in the well and said, "I'll throw a grenade in there." And the echo came back, "Maybe they're hiding in the woods." The Thessalonian church echoed the gospel of grace so that others could hear and believe and be saved from all of their sins. Their gospel echo sounded out clearly, widely, and it carried a long distance so that many heard the truth. We learn from examples in life, and we can learn from the example of the Thessalonian church. They had a good and godly example in how God desires the body of Christ to echo the gospel call. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6 reads, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Paul talks about our gospel in verse 5. The reason Paul calls it our gospel is that the gospel Paul, Silas, and Timothy were sharing was the gospel revealed first to the Apostle Paul, the gospel of the grace of God, the good news that Christ died for our sins and rose again, and that just by grace through faith alone, we are saved and have eternal life. Paul wrote this about the gospel he made known in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." This gospel of grace came to the Thessalonians in word, or was verbally made known to them. Paul and his team of Silas and Timothy communicated the truth of the gospel, but Paul recognized that it wasn't their eloquence that brought people to faith, and that our gospel came not unto you in word only. It had come to them in word, but not in word only, Paul says. The gospel had also come to them in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. It was the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit that had pierced their hearts, showing them their need of salvation and of Jesus Christ. John Stott shares the following story from 1958 when he was leading a university outreach in Sydney, Australia. He said this, "The day before the final meeting, I received word that my father had passed away. In addition to this grief, I was also starting to lose my voice and did not feel well. It was already late afternoon, within a few hours of the final meeting of the outreach, so I didn't feel I could back away at that time. When time came for me to give my address, I preached the gospel. I had to get within half an inch of the microphone, and I croaked the gospel with a raspy voice. I couldn't exert my personality. I couldn't move. I couldn't use any inflections in my voice. I croaked the gospel in monotone." He said, "I've been back to Australia about 10 times since 1958, and on every occasion somebody has come up to me and said, 'Do you remember that final meeting in the university in the Great Hall?' And I reply, 'Yes, I do.' And they say, 'I was saved that night.'" Stott concluded, "The Holy Spirit takes our human words, spoken in great weakness and frailty, and he carries them home with power to the mind, the heart, the conscience, and the will of the hearers." Paul wrote the Thessalonians that the gospel of grace had come to them with power in the Holy Spirit. The truth of the gospel has power. And by the Holy Spirit, he uses our words, our proclamation of the gospel to save souls. And he does so even when they are spoken in great weakness, and when we stumble all over ourselves, when we don't answer their questions well and it feels like we blew it. Conversion does not depend on slick salesmanship techniques or powerful rhetoric or convincing logic on our part. The power is in the truth of the gospel, not in how well we speak it. We are simply called to make it known. And God works through our faithfulness to do so, and he gives the increase. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There is power in the gospel of the grace of God. The power of God unto salvation is vested in the gospel of grace. By the Holy Spirit's working, it has the power to pierce the heart, convict us of our need of Christ, and show the grave danger we are in being in our sins. The gospel has the power to show that Christ is what Christ has done as our blessed substitute in dying for all of our sins and rising again. It has the power to save and give us new life when we trust the gospel. The word for power here is the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. And the truth of the gospel is the dynamite that can blast away, destroy our mistaken beliefs, our self-reliance, and our pride. The gospel's power is derived from God himself. And nothing short of the very power of God can save anyone from all of their sins. Not one of us can claim that power. Salvation is not of ourselves. Salvation is not earned by our own power. We have none. It is all of the Lord. It is by his power and by his cross. The power unto salvation belongs only to God, who alone has the power to save a soul from their sins and give them eternal life. It's been said well that the gospel is not the presentation of an idea, but the operation of a power and of truth. When the gospel is preached or spoken, the power of God is at work for the salvation of men, snatching them from the power of destruction and transferring them into new life. When the gospel was shared with the Thessalonians and they heard it, the Holy Spirit took those words and manifested the power of God by his work of conviction. When they believed the gospel, the Holy Spirit manifested his power by immediately saving them from their sins, giving them new life, placing them into Christ, and indwelling them. And by the Spirit's work also, Paul wrote that the gospel came to them in much assurance. They accepted the gospel with firm conviction, full persuasion of its truth. It was not embraced as a doubtful or uncertain thing, but in much assurance of its truth and reality. Paul reminded them of his own conduct when he was with them when he wrote, "As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Paul not only preached the saving gospel, their lives demonstrated change and transformation because of the gospel of Christ. The assurance of the truth of the gospel and of the power of salvation could be seen in the changed lives of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And by this, the Thessalonian church was further assured and convinced that the power of gospel to save was real and true. Because stop and think about Paul, Silas, and Timothy's example. These men had left the comforts and safety of home, traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles to distant lands, put themselves in danger of persecution and death just to share the gospel with others. This can only be explained by the reality of Christ's resurrection and the saving gospel. Faith in Christ resulting in changed lives, however, does not happen in every case. It most definitely happened in the case of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and it is the ideal of what God wants, that having been saved by His grace, that we would be transformed by His grace. God wants His grace to so touch our hearts that we yield our lives to Him and we live for His honor and glory. But not every person who is saved by God's grace then manifests a changed life. Many make the decision to trust Christ and they are saved from all of their sins. But then they go on living for themselves and they live like the world. But they are heaven bound and they are safe in Christ. Paul's gospel teaches that we are saved by faith alone. You trust Christ as your Savior, that He died for your sins and rose again, and that's it. You have eternal life.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute, but first we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Pastoral Epistles is a hardcover 300-page commentary written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm, founder of the Berean Bible Society. This volume is a verse-by-verse exposition of Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus. It thoroughly examines the apostles' description of the form and function of the local church, as well as the qualifications that he gives for leadership. The last days of the dispensation of grace are also thoroughly investigated, along with the very message of grace that God's ministers are charged to proclaim. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
1 Thessalonians 1, 7-10 reads, "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The world is lacking in good examples. Wherever you look, it is difficult to find solid examples to follow among political leaders in the sports world, and even in the church and in the home. But the Thessalonians had found good examples to follow. The Thessalonians were inspired by Paul, Silas, and Timothy's Christ-like example, and they imitated them. In turn, their enthusiasm, joy, and passion for Christ led to them then becoming ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Ensamples is the Greek word tupos, which gives us our English word type. It is a word which makes reference to a die, a mold, or a model to duplicate. The word also speaks of a blow or an impression and refers to the visible impression left by the strokes or blows of an instrument. This church was setting a wonderful pattern for others to follow and duplicate. The Thessalonians were impacting and striking a blow. serving in such a way that it made an indelible impression on others for Christ. In other words, they were making a mark for Christ. They became a model church, a pattern church, a church for other churches to follow in Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia is where Thessalonica was located. That was their own area. Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea were in Macedonia. Achaia was adjacent to the area of Macedonia. Corinth and Athens were in Achaia. And so they became the model in their own area, and then the model for the neighboring area of Achaia. And they were making an impact by their faith in the midst of affliction and by their enthusiasm in sharing the truth of the gospel. A storekeeper had only one fish left in his barrel. A lady came to the counter and asked for a big fish. And he reached in and he showed it to her. She wanted a bigger one, so he put it back in the barrel again, grabbed the same fish again, and said with enthusiasm, "How about this one?" She declined and asked for something bigger, so again he put it back in the barrel, grabbed it again, and really excited with his find and even greater enthusiasm, he said, "How about this one?" She said, "No, they're all a little small. Just give me all three." Unlike the shopkeeper, the Thessalonians were sharing the truth with enthusiasm. These Thessalonians, they were so stirred, having been saved from all of their sins, that with overflowing joy of the Holy Spirit, they couldn't keep the good news to themselves. And they sounded out the word of the Lord. Sound it out in verse 8 means sounding forth like a trumpet or like a roll of thunder. They were trumpeting and thundering the good news of salvation. And like a trumpet does, it had a clear and a certain sound to it. They were clearly sharing the gospel of God's grace. And like a roll of thunder, there was power behind their testimony. As they shared the gospel, the power of God unto salvation was being sounded out. And these word pictures carry the idea of an echo, like the booming of thunder that echoes across the sky, and like brass instruments sounding off, and that sound continuing on with a prolonged echo. The Thessalonians trumpeted and thundered God's good news, and it reverberated and it echoed through the hills and valleys and cities, villages, and towns of Macedonia and Achaia. And not only there, Paul wrote, but in every place. What they were sounding out and trumpeting, thundering, and echoing was the word of the Lord, or the word of the truth of the gospel, as Paul wrote in Colossians 1:5. And when we thunder or trumpet the gospel, by God's working and His power, it often echoes from one person to the next, to the next. The gospel can sound out and then bounce and echo from life to life to life to life. The impact of the Thessalonian church went far, and it continues to this moment. It is a church to be modeled and patterned after because of their faithfulness to share their faith. It is the responsibility and privilege of each local church to sound out the word of the Lord, the message of salvation, with their community and beyond, and allow the truth of the gospel to echo from life to life by the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's humorous as you read this, because as Paul moved through Macedonia, where Thessalonica was located, and then later went to Achaia, where Athens was located and where Paul was currently at, he would start to proclaim the gospel and then stop short in amazement. Because echoing down the canyons through the streets was the word of the Lord spoken by the Thessalonian believers. People would stop Paul and say, I've heard about this already. I heard about this church up in Macedonia who is proclaiming this same thing. Their testimony for Christ was contagious and spreading faster than Paul could travel. And Paul was beaten to the punch before he could utter a word. And Paul must have laughed and marveled at these remarkable Thessalonians. God's word echoed out not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but Paul says in every place. News of their faith in God had an ever-widening circle of influence like ripples in a pool of water. And these believers had gained a worldwide reputation. And the Thessalonians didn't have Facebook or Instagram. But they were located at a strategic geographical point in people's travels back then. Thessalonica was located on the Ignatian Highway, the main east-west thoroughfare. The crisscrossing of trade went through Thessalonica. So the gospel was spread by land. Then they were located on a seaport on the Aegean Sea. And with the ships that docked and traveled to and from there, the gospel spread by sea, by land and by sea. The testimony of the Thessalonians went everywhere. Paul didn't even need to say anything because in every place, people already knew and would rehearse to him the story of their entering in that we had unto you. How Silas, Timothy, Paul went to Thessalonica, shared the gospel, and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It had become a matter of common knowledge that a startling transformation had taken place in the lives of many people in Thessalonica as a result of them turning to God from their idols and willingly yielding themselves to God as his servants. Thessalonica was situated just 50 miles from Mount Olympus, where the Greek gods were supposedly said to live. When the Thessalonians turned to God away from idols, it sent seismic shockwaves reverberating throughout the entire region. But notice how verse 9 is put, that they turned to God from idols, not from idols to God. Their first movement was to God. It wasn't that they became fed up with their idols and they decided to give God a try. They turned to God and they found him to be true in everything they could ever need. And so those dead idols just dropped and fell away. When the Thessalonians worshiped idols, they had no hope, a false hope and a false God, no life from a lifeless God. But when they trusted the true and the living God, they had true hope and the true God and a living hope and everlasting life in from the living God. And the next step they did was to willingly give themselves to serve him, to gladly serve the true and the living God out of gratitude to be his, out of gratitude for the salvation we have in God's Son. Everybody serves something. Before trusting Christ, we serve sin, we serve self. Now we are called to willingly serve Christ and serve others. We are saved to serve. And the word serve here is in the present tense in the original Greek, showing that our service is to be a continual, lifelong activity. Servanthood to Christ is a lifestyle. It is our calling as believers. After salvation, now the Thessalonians had two purposes for their lives: to serve the living and the true God, and second, to wait for his Son from heaven. While we serve Christ, we wait for Christ. That word wait means and speaks of patient trust. The Thessalonians were waiting for God's Son from heaven. This implied the possibility of his coming at any moment during their lifetime. And the body of Christ is still waiting for God's Son from heaven, knowing that for us too, He could come at any moment during our lifetime. And this waiting for Christ's return is now 2,000 years closer from when the Thessalonians were waiting. Believers in the body of Christ are taught by God's Word that we may leave this world in one of two ways, through death or through the rapture. Both involve seeing Christ for the very first time. We could leave this world and follow the pattern of our Savior, death, burial, and resurrection one day at the rapture. At our death, we will close our eyes in death, but we will open our eyes in Christ's presence and glory, and we will see Him. We could also leave this world via the catching away of the church to heaven directly. We have the hope that the Lord could come at any moment and that we will leave this world and enter heaven in our new glorified bodies without ever dying. And when Christ comes at the rapture, we will see Him in the air. And when Christ returns, He comes to deliver His church from the wrath to come, which is the 7-year tribulation period. We cannot be looking for the Lord's return at any moment if some event or period of time has to intervene. The rapture of the church before the tribulation is the only way that permits the believer to look for Christ coming at any moment. If you are saved, you are safe from the coming time of God's wrath when God's wrath is poured out on the earth, and you will be delivered from it by Christ at the rapture, the catching away of the church to heaven. But if you have never trusted Christ, you are in danger every single moment of being left behind to face this horrific time when God's judgment will rain down on this earth in full measure. Turning to the living God, trusting the gospel that Christ died for your sins personally and rose again, by faith alone, you are saved from the wrath to come.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.